on page 181 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Living by faith. Living by faith. That's not just existing by faith. That's not just getting by faith, but living by faith. Christ says, I come so that you might have life, and you might have life abundantly. Oh, you guys are good. You guys are good. See those smiles? Andrew, it's abundant. That is life abundantly, not just existing, not just getting by, not just surviving, but to have life abundantly. To look out there and after 3 or 4 days of rain that have soaked into the ground, and oh, those clouds and the lightning and the thunder might have soaked into your very being. And maybe, you know, you're deprived of vitamin D. You didn't get much sunshine. You were getting liquid sunshine. And we need that too. As I was talking to Tommy and Vaughn and Jenny a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how we didn't have enough moisture and we needed it. Well, I think we got it. Asking you shall receive. We're good now. Okay. But it is all about a life. God chose us to be his family, and not just so that, oh, we're all going to be here and we're going to be entertained by God. We're going to wait for a light show. I didn't see much lightning. I've seen some at different times out at sea. I mean, really, pyrotechnics. I don't care what orchestra, I don't care what theater they were in, even in a Super Bowl, they can't hold a candle to what the Holy Spirit, what God can do with nature on an ocean, with lightning going from one side to the next. Scary as all get out. Thank goodness it was on a big ship, not a rowboat. But that's life, and we have it abundantly. But living by faith, sometimes that's tough. Because most of us have bills to pay, rent to pay, mortgages to pay, savings for college educations to pay, celebrations for no longer having, for at least one anyway, because Vaughn's graduated. But we have so many things that cause us to change what our idea of living is? Is it existing? Is it just getting by? Or is it living by faith? And living by faith, having an abundant life. Listen to what Paul is telling these Corinthians, because it's really the third phase of a conversation he started with them. When you go home, I urge you to open your hymnals, not your hymnals, open your Bibles. It's one of those books that you keep on your nightstand. The Bible. And read this. And chapter 4, Paul, this verse, the verses that we start off with, 13, it's the third part of a conversation he's having with the church at Corinth. And these people at Corinth, not necessarily bad people, but Paul's been to them. He's given them the word of Christ. He's proclaimed the word of Christ and the power that's there. And he's told them how they should live, and then they're not exactly following that. So he writes a letter to them. And one of the things that he's talking about is treasure in clay jars, which is the title for the start of chapter 4. But he's talked about not losing heart, engaged in ministry, and he's talking about how he's working. Then in verse 7, he goes on with this treasure in clay jars. Again, he's speaking of a treasure that we have. And what's the treasure? It's that promise, that life eternal, that Christ has already purchased for us, that we have an eternal life available to us, not because of something we've done, but because of something Christ's done. Not something that's ours because Paul says it's ours, because Paul did something for us. No. Paul always says it's Christ that's done it. Peter always says it's Christ that's done it. Even Billy Graham says it's not me, it's Christ that has done it. Boy, if you don't... Anyway... Don't let me get carried away with that. But verse 13, we come into it, and he's in the third part of a discourse he's had with them. And now he's talking about, just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, so we spoke, so we speak. Again, he's talking about our belief, not necessarily in something that we can put our hands on, something that's tangible, that, again, I say those five senses, see, smell, touch, taste, hear. You know what? I don't know how good that A&W root beer is going to taste when I get to heaven. But opposite that wooden picnic bench where my uncle and my dad and my brother are sitting, I know, I have faith, I believe that that root beer is going to be the best root beer I've ever tasted in my life, even if it's A&W root beer, because it's going to be in heaven, and it's going to be there with my brother, my uncle, and my dad. That's my belief. And there are going to be other things. I'm going to see my mom up there, and she's walking. She's not using a wheelchair, and there's no longer any pain, and her body's not racked by the ravages of cancer. That's my belief. That's my hope. That's my faith. And I'm going to live my life knowing that Christ has purchased an eternity for my mom, for my dad, for my brothers, for my sisters, even for me. Now, it doesn't seem so hard to believe that Christ would purchase something eternal like that, some sweet person like Betty, or Betty Ann, or Polly, or some great musician like Janice, or Becky, or so lovely mother like Sue, or any of the other mothers who were here, or any one of us miscreant guys. Notice the ladies are always sweet and perfect, and we try. At which point in time, Terry usually says, oh, you're very trying. Without even trying, I can be trying at times. But verse 14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. God chose us to be his family, to be with him eternally. Where? In heaven. What's it look like? There's scriptures that says, you know, cobblestones of gold, streets of gold, windows of alabaster, beautiful place. I don't know. But if the scriptures say that, then I'll follow that, right? The Wesleyan quadrilateral. What does the scriptures say? What does the tradition say? But those are things that I can trust in. Those are things that I can believe. Believe in not having seen them yet. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I have a belief that God has chosen to forgive my sins. Every time when we celebrate communion, we are reminded again through the words that we repeat. Do this as oft as you do in remembrance of me. Not in remembrance of the bread and the wine, but in remembrance of Christ Jesus, his love. This is his body given for you. This is his blood poured out, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Live by faith. I wasn't there that night in the upper room. I believe that the gospel accords tell us what Jesus had said. But I choose to live my life knowing that I'm not perfect, not even close to being perfect, but I'm going to try to live my life as if I know that Christ is right there beside me through the power of the Holy Spirit each and every step of my life. And oh, every time I take a misstep, he's there too. And not to criticize, not to accuse, not to berate, but he's there. You know, when we're suffering grief and sorrow, and some might say, well, where's your faith in that? You know, why are you grieving? Why are you so sorrowful? Don't you believe? Oh, absolutely, I believe. And Christ knows this. When we suffer sorrow at a loss, it's not doubt or disbelief. It's because we love the person so much. Is it because we don't know that he's someplace else or she's someplace else where she's healthy and has a new body that doesn't feel pain anymore? No, but I miss the smiles. I miss that voice. Kenneth Edward! Oh, goodness. My sister tries it. She says, hey, Kenny Edward. But it's not quite the same as my mom calling. But we live by faith. There's the hope and the expectation. Because there's the knowledge that the same one who was able to bring us into the presence of God. And all of this, verse 15, everything is for your sake. So, how many times have you heard me say so that? There are things that are done so that, in order to, or because, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. It is all about God. This is not something that's myopic. This is not something that's for me, something selfish. When we're living by faith, we're serving God. Not for me, it's for him. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Renewed by what? By our faith in this Holy Spirit, this comforter, this counselor that's in our lives and in our very lives and those around us. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Is Paul saying that we're not going to suffer affliction? Is he saying that everything's going to be... Wait a minute. Jesus says we're going to have life and we're going to have life more abundantly. Then why in the world is there all this horror? Why in the world is there so much insanity? Why in the world is there so much flooding? Anybody tell you that there's a crushed nature to this world because of our sin? A corrupting force that's here? Absolutely. But in spite of that, living by faith, we can be joint heirs of the kingdom because Christ has already paid the penalty for our sin. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Think of this. Eternity is not just a really, 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 really long time. Eternity is not just this huge amount of time. Eternity is a really good time when you're in the presence of God. Is it going to be 1,000 years? Is it going to be 10,000 years? Is it going to be 1,000,000 years? I don't know. If I'm with God, time don't matter. What's a day? What's a second to God? It's like 1,000 years? Goodness gracious. Give me a second. But that's what we believe. Can I empirically test that? You know, when we look at belief systems, I mean, you know, we go to school, right? The math that I learned in school. Two apples equals four. I get four apples. I can see those four apples. If I go two and two and put those together, that's four. I go one, two, three, four. That's empirical. I can test that. I can search that. I can do that. I can change apples to oranges, oranges to onions. Not that I'd ever want to do that, but if they're Vidalia onions, okay. Or watermelons. But four, two, anything equals four of whatever it is you added up. You can see that. You can demonstrate it. You can do that day in, day out, day in, day out. But faith is something you can't necessarily prove to you. Dave, I can't show you my faith. I can't show you what I believe in. But you and I can read the same scriptures. We can go over life experiences together. And through that, maybe we can see what leads to be the same faith. But can I show it to you? I can demonstrate by what? By action. I can articulate. And maybe when my face lights up before I pass out, then you get kind of sort of an idea. And listen, people, I had decaffeinated coffee today. I didn't have any caffeine yet. Oh, that's not true. I had a cappuccino this morning. That's what it is. But those are things that we believe because we can see. When we live by faith, it's trusting that what God has said, His Word says, tells us where He's going to be. We know how He's been faithful, how He's performed and fulfilled the prophets. The blind would see, the lame would leap, the deaf would hear, the dumb would speak, the dead would rise again. We believe that. There are people that are out there saying, you know, we found this tomb in Jerusalem, and it has the name of Jesus on it, Yeshua, and it has Mary in there. So that must be the grave of Jesus and Mary. So Jesus, if He ascended, why would He need a grave? Goodness gracious. I can't make them believe that Christ rose. And they can't make me believe that that tomb is Jesus's, or because they don't have the proof of it. Someone named Yeshua might be buried there, but that's not Jesus's grave. That's what I believe, and that's how I choose to live my life, based on that faith. That what Jesus did for me, as we remember it today with communion, his body which was given for me. Why? So that I'd have eternal life. That I would have life abundant. And I'm going to live by that faith. Because his blood, every drop of his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of your sin. And mine. So that we might have that promise, so that we might have that eternal life. So let's live the lives that we have today on the face of this earth as if we have that promise of an eternal life in heaven with God. God chose us to be his people, to be his family. For we know that if that earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, listen to how this reads. We know. This is empirical. It's proven day in, day out. The earthly tent we live in is destroyed. There's no argument there. We die. All we have to do is, most of us, look to our parents. They're no longer with us. But this is where the faith and the belief comes in. We have a building from God. A house not made with hands. But eternal. Where? In heaven. That's living by faith. That's living by faith. That's claiming the promise. That's living as if you believe and have faith. Hebrews tells us that faith is what? The hope for things not yet seen. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. But I'm going to live my life by faith. Living by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. That I have an eternity. That I'm going to that place where I'm going to see my mom, my dad, my uncle, my aunts, and my brother. Live by faith. But a faith in Christ Jesus, in a faith in a deliverer. Shalom. Peace. Amen.